Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. I am Perry Sykes. Don Creech is not with us this morning. He was unavoidably detained this morning, so he'll be back next week, I'm sure, as advertised there. But today we'll go it alone. As always, we're here to talk about the economy, the markets, investing. So if you have any questions that come up during the show, feel free to give us a call. That number is 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Brady is ready to take your call. So taking a look at last week, as always, boy, it's another one of those weeks where it's hard to tell what's going on day to day. But we did end up with a positive week, which hasn't happened in a while. We've been pretty negative. And it does beg the question, of course, why is that? Why did we get a positive week? Did the news change? What would be driving that? And, you know, our outlook generally is we don't really try to get to the exactly why things are happening. Usually people find out why the market moved or what caused, you know, stocks to drop or bonds to go up, whatever it is. They find that out later. Later, it's kind of a consensus will develop about what happens. And even that's not for sure what went on. It's just what we believe happened. And, you know, over the past month, we've had some pretty nasty economic data. Nothing's really looking very good. The labor market's doing okay. That's kind of the only kind of bright spot. But, you know, in June, the last inflation number, 9.1%. Gasoline's over $5 a gallon in almost all the country. 33% of listed homes. Homes that are for sale in the United States, 33% have cut their prices. So the crazy time in the real estate market clearly is over for the time being anyway. It's not really not really accelerating as it was. In fact, it's backing up a little bit. Home builders, their confidence is at the lowest level. 30-year mortgage rates hit 5.8%. Industrial production is down. New housing starts fell. Small business optimism number is down. There's just nothing out there that looks too good. And credit card usage is ticked up. So people are, you know, the stimulus money's gone. There's still things that are required to have for their family. Prices are increasing drastically, and so they're back on their credit cards. And if you just saw that list, if you just looked at that data, you would think, well, stocks must be just in the tank. And you know, if we look at year-to-date numbers, they are. You know, it's still, you know, well over 17% off on the S&P 500. You know, the S&P 500 is positive for the last month now, after last week. The last month, it's up just over 4% for the month. So that was a solid gain. And everyone's first thought, of course, is, well, that means that all the bad news was already in the stock market. What is priced in? That's the trillion-dollar question. That's what everyone wants to know. What's priced in? And you hear that term all the time. People throw it around very, very casually. It doesn't matter. The stock price doesn't matter. That's priced in. The price, it's already in there. All the bad news is priced in. The stock's down 70%, but all the bad news is priced in. And then the stock falls another 25% after a bad earnings report or whatever the number is. That happened a lot last quarter. Everything is down. Well, this is down as far as it's going to go, and then it goes lower. And that phrase, it's priced in, is just like all other phrases in investing and economic news. It's just something people use to make themselves feel better about what's going on. You only know what's priced in after the fact. We talk about not knowing when market highs are and not knowing when market lows are till after the fact. Well, what's priced into the market also, you don't find out till after the fact. It looks like, well, Everything that could have gone wrong must have already been in that low. It's less bad than expected, and that's good enough for right now. It's even if it's less bad, it's still bad news. But well, it could have been worse, so we're going to count that as good news, and we're going to buy on that. And there wasn't any way of knowing that in advance. If you saw how badly they got hammered on the first quarter release of We Lost Subscribers, you're going to assume the next quarter when they say, hey, we lost subscribers again. Well, that's just a continuation of that downtrend, right? Well, no. Turned out that it was, well, we lost fewer subscribers. So maybe we've hit peak subscriber loss, if you will. And so now that's going to be good news. We think it's going to turn up now. And that's why you don't know what's priced in. You don't know what's priced in not a second before the market decides what that security is worth. That's when things get clear. You don't get any clarity on what's priced into the market until someone else says, this is what we're going to pay for it, or this is what we'll take for it if we've got it. And so even as the news and the overall economy has gotten worse over the past month, stocks have been going up instead of down. And the question for all investors now, of course, is, you know, was it just a momentary reprieve? Are we looking at a market bottom? Are we done with this? Are we done with inflation? Is peak inflation already gone past? Things are going to get better. And was all that bad news already priced in? And, you know, we're going to find out soon. We'll find out shortly because the market votes on that every day it's open. We don't think so. We think this is a little premature. We think there's too much other bad news out there to declare victory and try to go home now. We are still quite defensive in our client portfolios. We have some client portfolios that are 100% cash, and we have some that the majority is still in cash, because this looks a lot more like a momentary reprieve than a change in the market direction. That's it. We're off to the races now. We're going to hit new highs. We think there's going to have to be something else happen before we're going to go to new highs in this market. We're going to need something to drive the market higher, because all of the economic numbers are they're just not good. You know, we went over those at the beginning, and then you clap on inflation on top of that. That is still increasing instead of decreasing. It's not even moderating yet. It's still going up. And so those things don't bode well for businesses in general. And so we think this is probably more of a bear market bounce than a sea change that's going to begin to run this market up and stay there. And we, of course, like everyone else, we don't know that. We don't know that this isn't the beginning of the new highs that we're going to charge right back up now. It's possible. It's just not likely. The probability is that we're going to see some more downside here after we get through this little bit of investor enthusiasm coming in and saying, well, let's go ahead and buy this because we have some things that are going up. But we look at things like two weeks ago on a Monday, the S&P 500 was up 2.7% in one trading session. Huge move, 2.7%. The advanced decline line on the New York Stock Exchange that day was negative. Most stocks were losing money on that day. So again, I know we sound like a broken record. We say it so often, but just under the surface, things aren't quite what they seem. The market dynamics a little bit deeper aren't as solid as the top line numbers of the big firms that are attracting all the attention, making the indexes move. But just below the surface, there's still a lot of weakness out there, and you would expect that. You would expect that in the kind of bear market atmosphere that we're in, coupled with high inflation, coupled with still coming off the COVID economy. There are so many of those factors that weigh on the economy and therefore weigh on the market as businesses begin to adjust to what's going on, that we're thinking, you know, that we're probably not done yet. We're probably going to see some more downside before we head to new highs. And, you know, during corrections and during bear markets, of course, like we're in right now, there's no doubt that we're in a bear market right now, of course. Different stocks react differently to that bear market. Some hold in there for a while, some hold up, some collapse right away. Right now, last week, there was only 9 stocks that were within 5% of a 52-week high. 9 stocks within a 52-week high. This is on the S&P 500. 145 stocks representing $9 trillion in market cap are within 5% of their 52-week low. So this market is down right now. And in bear markets, there tends to be, of course, lots of selling going on. But believe it or not, there tends to be an order to people that are bailing out. And there's kind of a pattern that hits bear market selling. And, you know, the highest speculation stocks, they go first. The ones that were just high flyers based on they're going up because they're going up, those get hit first. And then the market leaders, whatever had the biggest run-ups coming into that over time, then they get hit. And then everything else begins to fall after that. And if you go back and look at the dot-com bubble, you can see, if you get the graphs of that, you can actually watch that happen. You can watch those different phases roll through. So it's pretty well documented that those things happen. And it's good to know, it's good to watch, and it's good to kind of try to get a reading on what phase we are in right now. The phase we're in right now is we're up against our first break. We're going to continue talking about the bear market and the different phases of a bear market when we come back. Just like to remind everyone that we do have a monthly stock market update, and we have our August webinar on the calendar. It's scheduled for Saturday, August 6th at 9 a.m. You can register that by going to iriradio.com. That's iriradio.com. Just head over to the webinar page and give that registration link a click, and you'll get an email back. There'll be a link in there. And then on Saturday, August 6th, you give that a click, and you'll be live online with us. You'll be able to see our charts, see what we're looking at, see what it is that we see in the market. We're going to give you a market update, a little economic information, and we always have plenty of time to take your questions. We always get lots of good questions on the webinar, and we take the time to answer all of them as they come in. So again, you can register for that at iriradio.com. If you'd like to talk to me this morning, feel free to give us a call here, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine.
Thanks for listening to Investor Resources here on KTTH. We were talking about the phases of a bear market, and it's amazing that there is anything discernible that happens. A lot of times people assume that once you get into the depths of a bear market, it's just random panic selling, and it's really not true. Like I said, back in the tech bubble bust, there was a pattern, and it held through to our most recent bear market. It was just recently documented here. Let's cover that a little bit. Again, it's a three phase happening that happens as stocks roll over. First, the most speculative stocks get hurt. Then the market leaders that were the most successful in the run up to the bear, and then everything else gets pummeled eventually. That's one of the pretty solid rules of a bear market. Nothing escapes all the way. It's just a matter of when it's going to drop and how much. But let's see. In mid 2021, the S&P 500 was still hitting new all time highs. That's when everything was still great. But if you were an unprofitable tech company, you were already starting to get hit. That was phase one of this bear market. So the phase one of the selling actually started when the S&P was still hitting new highs. But some of those companies, the most speculative ones, the ones that people were just taking a flyer on, those were already starting to get hurt. Below the surface, people were already taking notice of things are tightening up here. This company doesn't really have any real chances of success. I was just hoping it would. So as we always say, hope is not a strategy. So they started to bail on that. And then we entered phase two near the beginning of 2022 when the big end of tech started to go. All the high flyers. And it was across the board. It was startling to see. But when you see, you know, Apple and Amazon and Microsoft all just getting hit, that's when you know something big is happening right now. You don't know the extent, and you don't know how long that might last. But Microsoft hasn't been this far below its 200-day moving average since 2012. So it's been a long time. since anything's been hit this hard. And so the uptrend that Microsoft's been on a really nice run, that clearly is going to be taking a break right now. We don't think anything, you know, long-term is going to happen to Microsoft. We don't think Microsoft's going broke. We don't think Apple, Amazon, all those big tech companies, they're going to be fine. Even Facebook, it's not going to go away. It's just a matter of they're not where they were. They're definitely taking on water right now, if you will, and it's going to be tough going for a while. And we're getting ready to enter into stage three. As I mentioned earlier, there's only 9 stocks on the S&P 500 within 5% of their 52-week high. 3 of those are healthcare, and 6 of them are consumer discretionary. So it is extremely defensive right now on the consumer side. I mean, we're talking, you know, Kellogg's, General Mills, Molson Coors, those are up there. So I guess people are still eating cereal and drinking beer, no matter what's going on, that they're going to hang on to that as long as they can. But as this bear market continues, they're going to get hit too. The list of companies near the 52-week lows, that's just a who's who of American business. Everybody's on there. Warren Buffett at Berkshire Hathaway, they're on there. BlackRock, Bank of New York Mellon, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, Facebook, Microsoft, eBay, Cisco, Hewlett-Packard. These are all companies we know. These are all very good companies. Disney, General Motors, Dow Chemicals, they're all in there, but they're all within 5% of a 52-week low. So they are at the bottom of a cycle right now. And well, I can't say bottom. They're near a 52-week low. We don't know if they're going to go lower than that or not, but very large, very successfully run companies are taking a hit right now. They're really hemorrhaging share price right now because people are getting way more defensive, and it just, you know, that it just proves that there are no winners in a bear market. The whole idea is to survive. That's true for companies. That's also true for individual investors. You don't want to stay invested in a market that continues to decline until you absolutely destroy your chance for recovery. Our attitude is that once things establish themselves as being very, very negative, don't continue to own them. Get out of the way. If they're returning less than cash, buy the cash, not just because it's a better investment, but because it's a little safe haven for a little while to let the dust settle, to see where you can follow the money back into the market. But don't take a guess, and don't just hang on to the losers because you think eventually it's going to turn around, because it will. Eventually, the bear market's going to end. Eventually, a bull market somewhere is going to begin to pick up, and there's going to be a clear signal that, hey, it's time to start funneling some cash in there. But it doesn't look like that's right now. We're still in the third phase of the eventually everything must fall in a bear market. So we're not in a mode yet to say, well, let's start picking your winners and let's get in there. You know, it's really time to make a move here. It's time to put capital back to work. There's too much risk right now. It's not that nothing may go up, just like this, especially like last week on the S&P 500. It's not like it's not going to go up. Is it sustainable? And how much risk are you taking as that is going up? It's important to take a look at that and not just look at the increase in the index. Take a look at 40,000 feet and say, hey, you know what? There's a lot of bad news out there. And while we did get a bit of a bounce here, it doesn't look like there's any way this is going to continue unless something changes, unless we get some external stimulus that's going to say, well, that's what's going to push the market higher. Right now, we don't see that. So we are still very cautious. We think everyone should be very cautious. And the overall trend of declining share prices would say, yep, everybody is being cautious for the most part. And this is a very tough time, like I said, to decide, well, let's go find the next winner and start putting money into it right now. It's too soon. Right now, as far as we're concerned, there's a higher probability that things go lower before they go higher. There's no doubt things are going to go higher. We just don't know when. And the when is a critical question, because every day that you stay in with the part of your portfolio that's losing value, you're losing your ability to reclaim that ground. You're losing the ability to make that money. That's where emotions are running high. Everyone loves a good bull market. Everyone loves making money. But if you want to see someone really make bad decisions, or really feel pressed into making a bad decision, let them start losing money. that's when you really, that's when you can really see that people really start to make bad decisions. The pressure really gets to them, and they get into the we have to do something mode. We have to do something, anything, and that's when they you're going to tend to make a bad decision there. That's not a we need to do something is not a measured response to the market on the upside or the downside. So it's important to not do that if you can. You don't want to be there. But now's the time when you're always going to get coming out of the woodwork. You're going to get all of the people coming out to tell you what you should do. Bear markets are when that's when they come out the most. That's when they come out to say, here's what you should be doing, or at least here's what I'm doing, and you should do the same thing too. And they're always there. But this is the time in the cycle when those things happen. There was an interesting story from a book, which I have never read. It's called The Lucifer Principle, and it's about a bunch of tribes in India. And it was four tribes that worked together all the time. One tribe were farmers. One tribe were craftsmen. They made things. One tribe were herdsmen. And then the fourth tribe, they didn't do anything at all. They didn't make anything. They didn't raise anything. They didn't grow anything. But of those four tribes, they were the greatest economic power. And what they did was they were the sorcerers. They were the sorcerers of the group. So if you were having a problem with a sick relative, you came to see them. If you had, if you wanted to know the future, you came to see them. If you were having a bad year in crop, you came to see them, and they would trade their services for, the things that they needed for your produce, for your animals, for your goods that you produced. They were the most successful because everyone else thought they had to have their services. And they went on and studied that. And the conclusion was that the other tribes needed a sense of control. They needed a sense of control over their lives. And they wanted to have some way to help out their friends and their family and their own village. And that way was to go to the sorcerers. And they would exert some control over the things that they mostly didn't understand. And boy, oh boy, do we ever see that? Did we ever see that manifest itself in the world of investing? We have people all the time coming out saying, hey, you know what? We really have a handle on what's going on out there. Let me tell you what's going on. Let me tell you what's happening in the world out there. And of course, they have no idea. They can't. We talk about it all the time. Not only do they not know, they can't know, but people crave it. They absolutely crave that information to the point where there's a story in the book about weather forecasters. And there was a military weather forecaster that figured out that his forecasts, especially longer term, were no better than the flip of a coin. They were no good at all. And he informed his general, hey, my weather forecasts are no better than the flip of a coin. You're better off just ignoring and trying to pick the weather. He got a letter back from the general's staff saying the general is well aware of the accuracy of your weather forecasts, but he needs them to build his plans. He's got to have them. He's got to plan by those weather forecasts, even though he knows they're no good. That's kind of where we are. That's kind of where a lot of investors are. They know that those pundits don't know what they're talking about. They know that newsletter that they get doesn't really have any bearing on what they should be doing, but they also know it gives them a sense that they know what's going on. It gives them a sense that they have a chance to control something, and it's really just grasping at straws. And you should look at it that way, and don't listen to them, because they're going to come out more and more now. And when times are bad, that's when the sales go up of newsletters. That's when more and more people tune in to watch financial TV shows, because people want to know what's going on, and they think someone else has a handle on it. Fact of the matter is they don't. We talk about that all the time. No one knows the future. They can't. It's unknowable. Don't buy into it. It's very seductive when things are going poorly that someone else has a handle on this. Just remind yourself, they don't. They don't have a handle on it. And do yourself a favor. Yeah, just minimize that interaction and take it with a grain of salt. Maybe it's interesting, doesn't mean it's actionable, and that's important to remember. We are at the bottom of the hour. Time to get out of here for a quick break. I'd like to remind everyone that we have a weekly email newsletter. It's called The Week in Review. You can sign up for that by sending us an email to help@iriradio.com. That's help@iriradio.com. Just put Week in Review in the subject line, and we need your first and last name in the body of the letter, and you will begin receiving that this Monday. It's a really good look at the week's finance, economic, and investing news, and we try to distill it down to what's important and all the things you may have been hearing about that maybe you don't need to pay attention to at all. So again, you can get that by sending an email to help@iriradio.com. You are listening to Investor Resources here on AM 770 KTTH. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. My name is Perry Sykes. You are listening to Investor Resources here on KTTH. Talking about investing in the markets, if you have a question for us this morning, feel free to give us a call. That number is 800-465-8770. We were talking about the way things get hit, the way things roll over in a bear market. The first things that go are the things, like I said, that were the most speculative. And we got some more cryptocurrency news this week. There's a company, blockchain.com. They're an exchange for cryptocurrency. They said they're laying off 25% of their workforce. Obviously, because of the losses in the cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency is one of those things that when people looked around, they decided, we're not sure we should be holding on to this at all. And there's just an absolute collapse. And blockchain.com had one of those companies that just absolutely collapsed on their exchange. And it's, of course, significantly hurt what they're doing. And it's that just goes to show you, it doesn't matter how popular something is. It doesn't matter how much money gets invested in anything. If there's really not a significant business there to back it up, if there's not a real reason for all those gains, they can go away very, very quickly. And that happened across the board in crypto. It's just absolutely cratered. They had been growing quite rapidly, of course. Bitcoin topped $60,000 per Bitcoin. And, you know, now it's down in the 22,000, 24,000 range. So that's where it is. And there are many cryptocurrencies companies that are out there filing for bankruptcy. There's a cryptocurrency lender. they loan crypto. I don't know, but they're going under. It's all sort of part of the bad news cycle. After I saw that article, I remembered that Don had been doing some writing, and part of the things that he put out were about what's kind of going on right now in the bigger picture. And CalPERS, who is the largest pension fund manager from California, they're down over 13%. And this is a company that never projects that they're ever going to lose money. They're all of their projections are, here's how much we're going to make every year over year. Their fixed income portfolio is down over 14.25%. And they kind of don't know what to do. It's very difficult to change the investment policy of a firm like that that manages for pensions, because it's exceedingly long term. And their statement was, our traditional diversification strategies were less effective than expected. There's an understatement. Less effective. They just got really, really hammered. And the same way over BlackRock, the huge fund company here in the U.S. Over the first 6 months, they lost $1.7 trillion of assets under management, largely related to passive index investing. Again, the bond funds weren't helping, and BlackRock was also the major force pushing ESG, the environment sensitive funds. They're suffering major losses as investors just take their money out. They just take their money out of there, saying, you know what? Not only are we not helping the environment, this is not helping my bottom line. I'm losing money here. And so they're leaving in droves. It's costing them money. And those are the kinds of large trends that you need to keep an eye on. Outflows like that are one of the reasons we're saying that something solid really needs to happen before we can say that any kind of a rally could be sustainable. Let's see, Bank of America analysts, they just cut their S&P 500 earnings from $230 to $200 a share. So everything's looking on the downside right now. Ford's cutting 8,000 salaried staff. Google and Microsoft are pausing any hiring plans. They're just not going to hire anybody else at the time. And it's kind of across the board. It's really not going to continue in that way. So everybody needs to keep an eye on the externals also. What's going on out there? What is it that the economy in general, worldwide, in fact, is looking like? And can we count on anything that's going to start a rally? Could we start a rally and continue one? And right now, our answer is no. There's nothing out there that says we're going to really have a big turnaround. The supply chain is still broken. There's not a lot of people that have any confidence that China is going to pull anybody out of this. They have enough of their own troubles over there. So there's no real, shining knight on a white horse to ride in here and save the day. It looks like we're just in for this for a little while, and that's kind of the nature of bear markets tend to run their course. And of course, one of the big drivers right now is inflation. Inflation is still high; it's still increasing. So we're still going to need more intervention by the Fed to help. And you know, some of those things the Fed can't help. If we're having inflation because of supply chain issues, the Fed can't fix the supply chain. That makes their job very tough because they have a limited number of tools. They're going to use everything they have, of course, but it doesn't mean they have enough to fix it. The last time inflation was this high in general, it was back in the 80s. And there's some similarities between now and then. Back then, there was an energy crisis, just like today. All of a sudden, the barrels of oil are a little bit scarce. The Fed was tightening in monetary policy to fight inflation back in the 80s as well. And people were getting increasingly unhappy about the economic state of affairs. Between the late 70s and the 80s, that's the stagflation days. That's when everybody was just, what's going on out there? Everybody's just depressed. Nothing's happening. Nothing's moving. And we don't see anything on the horizon that's going to make that change. And some of the things that are a little different right now, we've got interest rates that are up. But back in the 70s and 80s, interest rates were far above the rate of inflation. They weren't behind the curve. We didn't have interest rates at 2% and inflation at 9. You know, we had interest inflation at 9, but interest rates were at 12 or 15. So things were on the increase, and so they were already out in front of it. And we don't have that today. Today we're still behind, which is why a lot of people say that they think inflation is going to go higher, or at least it's going to be much stickier than the Fed believes, because we're so far behind. There are some signs that some things are already beginning to roll over. Gasoline has hit what is widely called demand destruction. The price finally hit. It was 5% everywhere in the country, and in some places it was 6%. And a lot of people just stopped buying gas. That's one of the things that that you're going to hear said out there about high prices. A lot of times the only cure for high prices is high prices. The prices get high enough and people just refuse to buy again. They're like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to pay that much money. So I'm just going to leave it alone. I'm going to do everything I can to not drive. I'm going to, you know, cancel the road trip vacation. I'm going to start combining all the trips I used to just randomly take. And the amount of gasoline that gets consumed drops. That's what's driving our little downturn right now in gasoline prices in most of the country. It's not because suddenly there was more gasoline. It's because suddenly there are far fewer people. Same number of people. They're using far less gasoline. They stopped using it. And that's how inflation is self-correcting at some point. That price has got high enough that people just say, no, I'm not buying that anymore. I'm not going to pay for that anymore, or I'm going to buy the least amount of that I can. And that's kind of where we are in gasoline prices right now. And, you know, that's true across the board with inflation. The Fed is kind of counting on that. They're hoping that consumers will just stop buying a lot of things, and that will help bring the price back down. The problem with that is that when the inflation keeps going up, people are still spending all their money. All the money is still coming in. And as long as we have too much money chasing too few goods and services, of course, that's going to continue to drive prices up. Also, manufacturers take note of that too. And if their demand is dropping, they will drop the supply in an attempt to keep the price up. That's just the way capitalism works. And so it's not that the Fed is doing nothing. It's just that they may not be doing enough. And we don't know that the outcome so far is not great. We'll see at the end of the month, the next time they're going to have to raise rates again, which they probably will. It looks like the only decision is going to be 0.75% or a whole percentage rate percent increase. But again, that's a wait and see. And then we're going to have to wait and see what the next inflation number comes in at. And the Fed has stated they're going to have no patience with inflation. They've said it out loud. They've said it in writing. We're not going to allow this to get out of control. And right now, inflation is still increasing. And so they clearly do not have it under control yet. And we'll see going forward how that comes out, what happens when that happens. Because, again, it's one of those things you never know until after the fact. Are they tightening too much? They're still trying to engineer the soft landing, but we talked about it last week. You don't hear much about the soft landing anymore. Now you hear about a mild recession. It's not going to be bad. We're probably going to have a recession, but it's not going to be bad. We promise, because they're going to try to do as little as they can to get the inflation number under control without completely collapsing the economy. Unfortunately, a lot of that's out of the Fed's hands. So much of that is going to be driven by consumers. We're still, 70% of our economy is consumer spending. That's what decides what's going to happen realistically. The Fed can just try to set a direction and influence the economy at large, and they can certainly begin to dry up the liquidity, which, again, they've said they're going to do. We'll see if they follow through. This Fed has collapsed before in the face of a market that's been hurt by seemingly their actions, and they've reversed course almost immediately. We don't think they can do that this time. We don't think they have any leeway. We think they're going to have to address inflation head on here and continue to raise rates. It's a little bit painful, but that would actually be the best outcome for us right now. It's going to have to happen. We're going to have to get there. We're going to have to get the inflation out of the market. You don't want to, out of the economy. You don't want to let that run rampant. And it's better to take the shorter term hit, pull the Band-Aid off as fast as you can, and then get on with the rest of your life. But again, that's all to be seen. We'll see where that goes. We're just hoping the Fed doesn't overreact, and we certainly hope they don't underreact. We are up against our last break of the morning here. I'd like to remind everyone that we have our next monthly market update on the calendar. That's for Saturday, August 6th, 9 a.m. You can register for that by going to IRIradio.com. That's IRIradio.com. Again, just go to that webinar page and click the registration link. And then on August 6th, you just click that link and you will be live online with us. We have a great conversation about the investing, about the economy, about what we're doing with our client portfolios. And we always have plenty of time to answer any questions you have about investing or individual securities. If you have something in your portfolio, you're wondering if it should still be there, or if you're considering buying something and you'd like a second opinion, great time to get that done. Again, just go to IRIradio.com. If you'd like to give me a call this morning, feel free. I'd love to talk to you. Give me a call at 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around. Nothing to do but frown.
rainy days and Mondays. Hey, everybody. I'm Perry Sykes. This is Investor Resources. Thanks for staying with us. Welcome back to the show. Like to talk a little bit more about now we're going to move on to a subject that is near and dear to our heart, but it's a little bit off the investing and monetary world, talking about the internet and what they're doing as, and this pertains to us because it happens even more in the world of finance, even more in the world of financial predictions, especially. It really is a time when the algorithms that all the engineers are building are out there to just steal your attention. And, you know, all the big suppliers of content online, Facebook, Google, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, you know, YouTube, you know them all. They really are just professionals at stealing your attention. That is particularly dangerous in the world of finance. You don't want to get your decision-making process sidelined. That's why it's so important to have some rules built in to your portfolio process, so you have a process to go through instead of being pushed around by the opinions that are being put out there every day by you know, sometimes, you know, some kid living in their parents' basement. You don't know who they are. And all of a sudden they're out there giving this detailed diatribe about why, you know, you should put all your money under a rock and hide for a while. And they have very good, sometimes very good sounding logic behind what they have. And it's just important to remember that almost all of it is advertising. Internet companies, they just crave users, and they need you staring at that screen for as long as humanly possible, if not longer. You know, they want everybody online all the time. And they're, of course, you know, gathering information on everything about you that they can, and it's making them just incredibly wealthy. And it makes users incredibly depressed and angry for the large part. It's really not good for you. And the problem that that we see so much is that it can warp your perception of reality. You can be online enough and reading about whatever the subject might be in the world of finance, whether it's this bear market or the coming bull market, or whether, you know, crypto is the answer forever. And you can read enough stuff that you will stop making rational decisions. You'll stop looking at real world facts and real world metrics and just say, well, no, this has to be true. Or on the other side, well, this can't be true. What they're saying about this, it can't be. And it's just a matter of the content and the professional intent of what they're writing. They're just out there to really steal your attention as much as they can. And you wonder, you know, why would, you know, these highly educated techies, you know, want to do that to someone else? And it's because, you know, scrolling, that's the lifeblood of their business. And they really have to have you, they have to have you online and engaged with their screen all the time. And a writer, Johan Hari, wrote, unfortunately, there's a quirk in human behavior, and on average, we will stare at something negative and outrageous for much longer than something positive and calm. You'll stare at a car crash longer than just you'll stare at a person handing out flowers by the side of the road, even though the flowers will give you more pleasure than the mangled bodies in the car crash. Negativity always wins. It's always out there, and it's just pervasive right now, and especially during a bear market. You're going to find all kinds of reasons why you should abandon all hope, you know, that the end is near and there's nothing we can do about it. New York University found that for every word of moral outrage added to a tweet, the retweet rate increases by 20%. That's amazing. It's just amazing. So it works. They know what they're doing. They know what to say, and it works. So it's important to really try to clean that stuff out of your life. And if you're not going to take it out of your life altogether, please take it out of your financial life, because they are just as bad, if not worse, because all of those things that they're telling you about how bad things are or how great things are going to be, it's always tied to a product sale. That's always just marketing. They're always trying to sell you something. And if they can get you believing that they're the purveyor of the only product that's going to save you, and everything else, you're going to die broke and alone if you don't follow their advice, they'll do it. That's fine with them. They're going to follow that as long as the money's coming in, as long as the checks are coming. If you watch financial television, there are hundreds of commercials on gold right now. Gold's the only answer. Inflation is high. The markets are low. All you can do is buy gold. Well, gold's not doing well right now, but you're not going to see that on the commercial. They may talk about how well done gold has done since 1970, but they're not going to tell you it's down for the past 10 years. That's not going to be part of what that commercial is, but they are going to sell you that you can hold it in your hand and it's the only thing that's going to get you through this disaster that we're living through right now. And it's just not true. But you can easily find that your ability to make a rational decision gets compromised and you're no longer looking at things. And we have clients come in and say, well, I have to do XYZ because this is what's happening. And then you ask them, well, can you tell me why you think whatever that is going on? Why do you think that's happening? They don't have so-and-so said so. That's what it is. You know, well, I read this. Here's what I saw online. And it's like, well, let's look at some numbers here and see if that holds up at all in the real world. And you go through it with them. Some people, the light bulb goes on and they're like, oh, I see. I've been led down the path here. And this really isn't true, which is great for them. And it's great for us because then now they understand. But there's an equal number of people that are like, well, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. This is what's going to happen. And if you don't do this, you're going to all go down in flames. Those are the people that end up losing all their money. They've lost the ability of rational thought in the crucible of really bad times. Things are tough. They're losing money in their portfolio. They're watching whatever their goal was get farther away instead of closer. And you get to that, like I said before, you get to the, well, we have to do something. And doing something is way different than doing the worst thing you could possibly do. And the people hawking those ideas don't care if it's good for you or not. They just want you to send the check. And this is the easiest time for companies, for the scammers to be out there, for the sorcerers, if you will, to be out there telling you that their cauldron is brewed up and they are ready to save you. They're ready to make sure that you don't suffer the fate as all those other dummies out there that aren't listening to them. And then they're going to have some examples of, two people that this actually worked out for. And it may have, but that doesn't mean it's going to work out for everybody. And the fact of the matter is they don't care if it works out for anybody as long as you're sending them the money. That's the key. They need you to stay engaged with them. And their whole idea is to make sure you feel unprepared, insecure, and afraid. That they need you to be afraid. They need to make sure that you are worried about your future and that they're going to position themselves as the only way you're going to get out of it. And we try very hard to never do that. We tell people all the time, anyone can do what we do. You have to be willing to put in the time, you have to get educated, and then you have to continually put in the effort to make that happen. But this is not rocket science. There's nothing we do that anyone with a reasonable level of intelligence can handle on their own. You just have to want to. Most people don't want to. For us, we love it. There's something wrong with us. We love it. And most people get bored to tears looking at a page full of numbers. And we love to watch the plan work. We love to watch the process work. But we can explain what we're doing. And we can explain when it goes wrong. It's like, wow, that didn't work out at all there. But that's part of the process. Nothing works all the time. Nothing we do works all the time. It just works most of the time. And most of the time is all you need. You need it to work in your favor most of the time. And when you get a large number of people crawling out of the woodwork saying, if you don't do this thing, whatever it is right now, you're headed for disaster. We think those people ought to go to jail. We think that's just fraudulent. They shouldn't be able to do that. But they do. And there's lots of them out there. And, don't get caught up in that. And there's all kinds of people describing secrets that no one knows. We're going to discover, how you can always make money and never lose money and decrease your risk and, find the end of the rainbow. It's not out there. Don't buy it just because, we're going through a tough time right now. But now is when they come out. The bear market is when they're all going to be out there. They're all going to be telling you, this is terrible and we are the only way out. It's not true. You need to stay disciplined at this point. We have not changed our process one bit since this craziness began all the way back with COVID. We keep doing the same things. We apply the process with discipline. And over the long term, that gives you the highest probability of coming out ahead. And that's all you can hope for. That's as good as it gets. You can't, there is no free lunch. And then you see somebody, you know, make $5 million in crypto in 6 months. And you're like, well, that's what I should be doing. You have to keep reminding yourself they took an absolutely insane amount of risk to do that. I mean, insane. A lot of them are finding that out now. They're suddenly going broke. It's not working anymore, and there's nothing they can do about it. The disaster's already happened. Now they're left with, what do you do? How do you pick up the pieces? We'd like to show you how we do that. You should sign up for our next stock market webinar. That's on Saturday, August 6th, 9 o'clock in the morning. Sign up for that at investorresources.com. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next week. Take care.